Blog Talk Radio.
Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. You are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom People. You know what this is. This is the show that features the anointed and the appointed in God's kingdom. I am your host, Bishop-elect Jamel Elliott Hubbard, and I am so excited about our segment on today, Prophetic Fire. Amen. It is going to be dynamic. So as soon as this show is over, share the link with as many people as you can. Amen. But right now, we need you to text somebody and let them know they need to get on KDFI Radio right now. That call-in number is 516-387-1673. Again, that call-in number is 516-387-1673. Well, before we delve into the topic that so many of us need to hear about, we want to remind you that KDFI, where Bishop Derek Robinson is our international presiding bishop, is one of the fastest growing and most dynamic fellowships anywhere on the planet. That's just a fact. And so we want you to do this for us. Go to KDFI.net and see what this dynamic fellowship has to offer. That's KDFI.net. Well, we are excited about what the Lord has for us on tonight, on today. We have Overseer Tamara Darden. We have Prophetess Lisa Morris. We have Overseer Raquez Moore. And we have Overseer Gilbert Wilson. Welcome to KDFI Radio.
It's a blessing to be here.
Blessing, Dr. Hubbard.
Hey,
blessings. It's an
God
honor to be here.
All of you. Hey, man. It's an honor to have you. Listen, I can't wait to jump into this show, but we want the people to know where you are from and where you serve. So when I call you, just come on, let the people know where you're from, what ministry you serve in, and then we're going to jump into Prophetic Fire. Amen. Overseer Tamara Darden, come forth and tell the people where you're from.
God bless you. I'm from Central North Carolina District, and my name of my church is Champions for Christ Global Ministry. We're located in Wilson, North Carolina. Praise the Lord.
Praise Him. Amen. Prophetess Lisa Morris.
Hi. Greetings to all. I serve at the Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Nassau, the Bahamas, where God lives.
Amen. The Bahamas is representing today. Bless you, woman of God. All right. Overseer Raquez Moore.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Overseer Raquez Moore. I serve as the overseer for the Virginia District of KDFI, and the senior pastor of New Vision Community Church in Portsmouth, Virginia.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, man of God, and Overseer Gilbert Wilson.
Well, praise the Lord, everybody. I'm Overseer Gilbert Wilson, the General Overseer of KDFI Music Department, and also I serve as the senior pastor at the Transformation Churches in Monroe and Bastrop, Louisiana.
Amen. Praise God. Well, we are so grateful for all of our guests on today, and we are going to jump right in. I have so many questions for you, and I know our listening audience has questions. The first thing we want to talk about on today is what is the danger? What is the danger of having false prophets in the church? Amen. And we're going to start with Overseer Roquez Moore. Talk to us.
Yes, the danger of having false prophets in the church. The Bible speaks that there will be some that will come and try to endure sound doctrine. And when we're looking at having to endure sound doctrine, we're talking about those that itching ears. And when we have itching ears, we're looking at people are coming to receive word from a prophet because they're just a prophet. And when we're looking, when we see false prophecy, it is dangerous because when you are giving a word based off of flesh or emotion and not a word based off of what God has given you, it can be a danger because now the blood is on your hands. And when you're looking at false prophecy, we have to keep in mind that in that particular faith, that when you receive the false prophecy, then you also are a recipient of something that God has not said. And so it can be dangerous where you can die spiritually from that particular prophetic word.
Amen. What powerful. You're starting us off in a powerful way, saying that we are in danger of dying spiritually if we are under false prophecy. My God, we are going to keep it going. We're going right down to Prophetess Lisa Morris. Talk to us. What is the danger of having false prophets in the church?
Yes, thank you very much, Overseer.
Prophetess Lisa, we might have lost you. We'll come right back to you. Overseer Gilbert Wilson, talk to us. What's the danger of having false prophets in the church? Do we have a bad connection?
Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Can any of the guests?
I'm here.
I can hear you now.
I'm here.
Praise God. All right.
All right. Praise
there
God.
There we go. The devil is a liar. We're not going to let technical difficulties stop this.
Praise
Amen.
The Lord. Praise
Over
the Lord.
To you, Wilson.
We're grateful for this opportunity. I do believe the danger of false prophets. First of all, it is warned to us. Jesus warns us. Paul warns us. Those that came before us warns us that these will come, that there will be false prophets and false teachers and different things. And you know, I want to say there's also false recipients too, because anything that is a false prophet, that means there has to be some truth prophets. But the false prophets, the danger is it shows the lack of people not learning what is real and what is not real. It also shows that the strengthening the body, when you have false prophets and false teachers, you have the wrong teaching, you have the wrong doctrine, and people begin to fall after the personality of the person instead of the power of God. And so when there's no power in the house, hallelujah, lives are not changed, bodies are not healed, things that the Bible said that these things shall happen.
Right.
So we have to be very careful when we become imitators of people and different things. Sometimes it's very difficult even for Christians to discern false prophets. And there's a close resemblance between the truth and their false prophets. Jesus spoke of the false prophets, I believe. He said, who show great signs and wonders and so much that if it was possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I believe that's in Matthew around the 24th verse. And Paul tells us of the coming He tells us of the coming of the Antichrist, activities in the last days, and these signs and lying wonders. So Satan will allow. We have to be very careful, and we got to have discernment and see when there's false teaching and there's false prophets. In the church, we don't have discernment. We are not be able to discern and to know what is right because we've so much been under false teaching. And so sometimes we have to be very careful. There's a danger. There's a dying. Death comes. All kinds of things. We don't have, because the Bible said, Jesus said that I come that I have my life and have life more abundant. So the danger of it, of having a false prophet and a false teaching, glory to God, we become false recipients. Glory to God. We become false people. We become false. Our lives become false. And we're sitting up under these type of ministries. And that's why it is a danger.
Just connect to the
that's
other
why it's right. called death, huh? Yeah, double shot. Death to our
God, my
churches.
God.
Death to our churches and even our thinking and in doubt and all kinds of things will be coming a part of this. It caused all kinds of situations, and we have to be very careful about that. Glory to God.
Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Amen. Oversee it tomorrow, darling. Jump in on this. What is the danger of false prophets?
Well, the danger of false prophets are miscarriages in the people of God. The reason why I said miscarriages are because of the fact that God has given us what we need to be able to be involved here in this earth. And because of the fact that he's given us gifts to be able to operate here in the word, the enemy, what his job is to steal, kill, and destroy. And he wants to taint the word of God so we can do things offsetting to God's word. He wants us to be able to do things to begin to abort what God told us to do, to throw us off course, because he knows if we do it the way God say do it, he knows if we're following the strategic plans of God and the word of God, he knows that we would end up where God wants us to be, and his plan would be completed here on earth. The devil wants to throw things so far off course that we die in the mix of thinking we're doing something right when it actually is wrong. So that's why we have to be careful. We have to be careful because what the enemy's doing is he's giving words that taint the truth. The word of God speaks as if he came as an angel of light, but he actually wasn't that. He was fooling. It seems as if it was the Lord's way, but it was not. So that's why we have to have that discerning, because the thing about it is the enemy wants us to abort what God has given, because he knows if we ever birth that thing out, the will and the plan of God will come forth.
Thank you, God.
That's why.
Thank you, God.
We have
Hallelujah.
To be so careful. So careful.
That is so
not to fall
powerful.
Into the hands of the mind of false prophets.
My God. And you said miscarriages. Just tell the people what you mean when you say miscarriages.
What I mean by miscarriages. Yes, ma'am. And what I mean by miscarriages is whenever we have, when God blessed and put a gift on the inside of you and he gives you word, it's just like he planted a seed on the inside of you and tell you what the seed is going to be. We know that seeds come through and by seasons, and we know we have to till the grounds of those things. And also just like a mother carrying a child, that baby on the inside, there's nutrients you have to give that child. There's things you have to do to be able to, for that child to come forth in full term. Now, we know it's 9 months, but what the enemy's going to try to do with those 9 months is to send something to cause that child to be in the formative stage or cause you to abort that baby. So what the enemy tries to do is he'll send a lying spirit. He'll send somebody to lie on you to drop the word, to walk away from God, to turn away from God's word, to say that God is not God, to defile him. Those are the things that the enemy tries to do to cause us to abort our baby that God has given us.
My God, that is powerful. Hallelujah. And we don't want any miscarriages in the body of Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. And I believe that we have another guest on with us, Prophetess Lewis. Amen. And Prophetess Lewis wanted to just come forth and just tell us why it's dangerous to have these prophet liars running around in the church. Prophetess Lewis. It is dangerous because you can certainly cause someone to forfeit the plan of God and the promise of God on their life. You can cause them to be, they can cause someone to be derailed in the direction that they are going with their thinking that the Lord is telling them to go in one direction and the Lord is saying something else, but they are, they're telling them out of, out of assumptions, out of observations, out of presumption, what it is that they think that the Lord is saying based on things that they've looked at or things that they've seen on social media. You know how people do, they'll, look and do research to try to make it seem like it's accurate. But in other words, what folks will do is that they'll come out and say different things and have someone on a course, going in a direction that the Lord did not tell them to go. And as a result of that, they can seriously delay and or forfeit the promise of God at the timing of God.
Yes,
sir. Woo! See, you just hit on something right there. The timing of God, I think, is so important. And so when you hear prophets say, God is saying it's time for you to do this, and God is saying it's time for you to do that, that's dangerous, because if it's not God's timing, if it's not what God, it's not when God wants you to move, now you're damaging the body of Christ. This is powerful. This is where I want us to go now, because I think that some people don't understand really what the role of the prophet in today's church is. I think people think that the role is for prophets to come to your church and raise the offering, right? To say, if you come down and come on, let's just be honest today. We're going to get to it now. If you give $50 today, then you're going to get $500. If you come on, write a $5 check and God get ready to send you $5,000. And so somehow now, it seems that so much of prophecy that I'm hearing is tied to money and raising offerings. And so I just want this. We have some true prophets on the line. I just want you to educate us on today what the role of the prophet is, because it can't just be raising offerings. So I need y'all to tell us, Overseer Moore, I'm coming to you. What is the role of the prophet in today's church?
The role of the prophet is, number one, is to pull down. Our job is to depress spirits. And so we have been put in the earthly realm to operate in the spirit realm on how to reduce the activity of spirits. We are to pull down what is not godly. It may be pride. It may be sin. It may be of evil doing. Our job is to build. And we were looking at building. We're talking about building a construction site in the spirit, establishing or causing to increase something in the spiritual realm. And after we pull down, after we throw those things down, after we destroy, we have to build. After we build, it's our time to plant. Whether it's planting to establish or institute. When we look at the Word of God, I recall in the Old Testament that Elijah, he established not only God of Abraham, but it was his job to also establish the children of Israel. And looking at that, how we have those five things in alignment, it is more so our job to tell the future based upon what God has given us. And a lot of times when we go, let's go back to false prophets, a lot of times a false prophet will dress themselves as a prophet in God's house and try to assume what they see in someone or of someone based upon the information that they have gotten off of Facebook or Twitter. And so we have to be mindful that when we're looking at this place of prophecy, it is our job to ensure that we are directing correctly and that we are guiding correctly. I will put this in there as a monkey wrench. Without a prophet, the church is blind.
My God.
Yeah, without a prophet, the church is blind.
Mm-hmm. Wait a minute now, Overseer Moore. Wait a minute now. So it's important that you clarify this for us. you don't mind wading into those dangerous waters. And so you have some people out there, you have some leaders, some great leaders who are pastors of their churches and just heard you say that. And they would push back against you and say, I'm the angel of this house. I'm the under shepherd. The Lord is talking to me and I'm talking to the people. So can you explain how is the church blind if they have a pastor but not a prophet?
As a prophet, we are the eye of the church. We are to explain the plan and purpose of God and tell the people what God would do in the future. I'm reminded of Amos chapter 3, and somewhere along the verse 7 it says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret unto his servants, the prophets. And so what God is doing with a ministry, what God is doing inside of a ministry, it is revealed through the prophet. It's not revealed through the pastor. It's revealed through the prophet. A prophet turns people from their evil ways back to God in order for them to be saved. As a pastor, it is your job to nurture what God is sending. I'm going to say it again. As a pastor, it's your job to nurture what God is sending. That means that you are to teach the people what they need to be taught according to what God gives you. But as a prophet, the prophet's job is to admonish. The prophet's job is to warn. The prophet's job is to direct. The prophet's job is to encourage, intercede, to teach, and also counsel. So without that particular person in place inside of the sanctuary with you and your congregant, the church is blind, cannot operate as a prophet. It's illegal in the spirit. You can't do it. Now you may be able to walk in the calling of a prophet, but you cannot operate as a prophet in the church and also serve as the pastor.
Woo, my God. Well, if you just joined us on KDFI Radio, you are hearing the voice of Overseer Rockez Moore. He is answering the question, what is the role of the prophet in today's church? Amen. And he just told us that it's illegal for a pastor to operate as a prophet in the church. Overseer Wilson, I want you to get some of this. Jump in here. And just reflect a little bit on what Overseer Moore said and tell us is the role of a prophet in today's church.
I don't know why you was going to call. I knew you was about to call me.
You know I was coming to you, Overseer Wilson. I know you felt it in the spirit.
Oh, my God. We praise the Lord. Well, I will agree with Prophet Moore, with the prophet being the spokesperson of God, prophet. Come to warn and direct, encourage, intercede, teaches, and counsel. I do believe that. And I do, they believe, bring the word of God to the people, to God, and the people of God to respond. But the main part of a prophet is to guide. You know, apostles is to govern. Prophets is to guide. Evangelists to gather. Pastors is to guard, and teachers is to garden. So when it comes down to the prophet in some sense, eyes, is the person that sees, glory to God, for the body of Christ. Now, he did say something that I'm like, okay, let's see what the word of God is saying, because there are scriptures that is saying that pastors who are pastors can be able to prophesy and to their people God. But when he said prophet, it is illegal for a pastor to be a prophet. So I do have a question. Is this because as a pastor, I believe it is your job to nurture, to grow the church, is to really, I would not say grow, but to really mature the church, get them into a place, and to guard them as a shepherd would guard a sheep, to be the watchers of their soul. And the prophet, glory to God, I do believe now there are moments when the pastor can prophesy. But when we start talking about the office of a prophet, I think that's the terminology that we need to use. When we're talking about the office of the prophet, you are the mouthpiece and the spokesperson from God. You hear God, you speak what God says, with the written word, in the repertory word, as that. Now, a prophet can undertake huge roles, glory to God. And this, according to, I believe that was, I'm trying to see who said this. It was, he said there's expressions of creative, a prophet's an expression of creative God. A prophet may act in every role, okay, occasionally, but mostly they will move in one or two roles, which is, first of all, prayer will be the most important thing that the prophet will do, because he has to have the time to talk to God and to hear from God. And so if a prophet is not a person that is praying, hallelujah, glory to God, he may be a false prophet, because you have to hear from God. And I agree in certain aspects when he began to say that about the prophet and the pastor. Now, I think what happened is we're playing so many roles that we're actually not walking in the roles that we are actually supposed to be walking in. And I think some people, just because pastors do mistake this, just because they can prophesy, which is the gift of prophecy, not mistaken to walk in the office of the prophet. And so that is two different roles. So there is some agreement, but I do believe pastors can prophesy. There's sometimes pastors who are a prophet who become leaders or pastors of churches. So that's a possibility.
Amen. Overseer Wilson. Let me just say something to you, Overseer Wilson, all our guests. You don't got to tiptoe on KDFI radio. If there's something you disagree with, it's all right to disagree in love. Amen. And to search out the scripture so that we understand. Overseer Wilson was trying to be so politically correct in his answer. Amen. And you did a good job, Overseer Wilson. One of the things I think that you did really well is talking about, and we're getting ready to hear from Prophet Lisa Morris. I believe we have her back. But one of the things that you did so well was talk about the difference between prophesying and then walking in the office of a prophet. We're going to bring in Prophet Lisa Morris. Do we have you, Prophet Morris?
Yes, I'm here online.
Amen. Okay. We're glad we
can
have
you
back, because we want the power to represent today. So what we're talking about right now, what is the role of the prophet in the church today?
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much, Overseer. Well, prophets are meant, I just want to piggyback on what my other two colleagues would have said. Prophets are meant to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Their role is to disciple, train, and to mentor believers in the prophetic ministry, okay? I believe that prophets reproduce themselves by helping others develop their own prophetic gifts. You'll find that an authentic prophet is less concerned about being a superstar. They're more concerned about seeing others grow. One of the things that and I think the speaker spoke would have said it well, they are all prophets are intercessors. I can agree. Mm-hmm. You can't be a prophet and not be an intercessor, but all intercessors are not prophets.
That's right.
And prophets have a heart to see the church flourish because they want to be a part of building up the body of Christ. That is their nature. as such, they're not, they are not only passionate about the church, but they are a part of the church. And what I have heard discussed earlier, prophecy builds up, encourages. We console people in the church and by extension our communities. A prophet understands that they must first be in a community to be able to do that. And so they also need to be in right relationship, and some may disagree with this, right relationship with the leaders. Doesn't necessarily mean that the prophets ultimately hears from God, but prophets are under leadership. And so in any
yes.
community that may be, this means that prophets are not self-appointed. We know they're appointed by God, but they're not self-appointed. They live in what I call a community with other believers, and over time, their call, their fruits and their gifts will speak for them as they would speak, as God would give them utterance and people would see it come to pass. And
yes.
I believe that's some of the characteristics of a true prophet.
Amen. That you
gave us so much. That is so good. Prophet Morse, I love that you said that they're not concerned with being a superstar. Amen. They're not concerned with being a superstar. And you're going to be hearing out of the Bahamas, we are going to have a lot of training of the prophet in the Bahamas region, and we're really excited about what God's getting ready to do with prophets. And so I love how you said they're mentoring others so that you don't have these prophetic renegades running around. Now,
yes.
we're going to come back.
Hallelujah.
Woo! Come on here now. You just did
Jesus.
Something because you went to where
God.
I was going next. We're going to talk about prophetic renegades because there's an issue. There's an issue that we've got to deal with. But I do want to bring Overseer Darden and get her thoughts, and then we're going to talk about what's going on with these renegades. Overseer Darden, can you talk to us a little bit about what is the role of the prophet in today's church?
God bless you. The role today of the prophets in the church today are to be seers and also to warn the church and to keep the church in alignment with what God's saying in the time frame of God. It's very important because if we don't have the prophets there in their right stance in the church, we will be off course with God. We will not be in the right time frame of God. We won't be able to see the things that God is saying in this hour or hear the things that God is saying in this hour. And it's important because we have to follow the divine instructions of him. He allowed the prophets to come in to bring the structure there as well, as far as like you guys were talking earlier, as far as the interceding, praying, and standing before the Lord. We have to have them on the wall constantly praying so that we won't miss the move of God. We have to have them in the church. That's the importance of them. Now, that's the importance of them staying in fine tune with the Spirit of the Lord, because we can't have them coming in there getting contaminated, running after a dollar, prostituting the people. Because the only thing that's going to do is going to have the people of God looking at they're going to be looking at the prophets in a different way, because we don't want them to look at it like they're pimps. They're pimping the people out in church. Because now some of that slavery that's inside the people's mouths, or we got prophets that coming in the house, they ain't doing it but pimping us out. Or you got the $120,000, $30,000, $50,000 line that they have in church. I'm not saying there's nothing wrong with having lines if the Lord leads you to do so. But what I'm saying is for the ones that's pimping the people, they need to sit down. And that's why it's important for us to have the right people and the right spirit before the Lord, the right prophets, the true prophets in the house of God, so we can stay in divine order in alignment with God.
Hallelujah. Amen. Ooh, Overseer Dart is not afraid to speak about what's going on, talking about pimping the people. And I feel like you would be a little politically correct when you said it's all right, you know. There's nothing wrong with having that. The Lord told you. How many of us really believe the Lord is telling anybody to have a $100 line, a $50 line, a $200 line? Come on now.
I will say this. I think the reason why people, if you want to raise an offering in church, just say what you need. Don't prophesy. Don't sit up and prophesy and say that this is just, we're saying that the Lord said just to get the people to give. You don't believe the God that's on the inside of you that's speaking? That's having me second guess you because of the fact that, you know, if that's what we act, he's timing and the anointing is on you, he's going to touch the heart of the people to give. We don't have to lie on God and say that God told us to get these $500,000, $600,000, and $700,000 lines. And truth be told, a lot of them ain't doing nothing but paying their house mortgages, paying their rent, taking care of themselves. But the thing, what we got to do, we got to get, that's why we got to get things back in order, have the right prophets. And that's why it's good for us to be in the right place to have discernment. If we ain't never prayed for discernment before, we better start praying for discernment now. Because there's false, the word says false prophets. They're coming into the church.
My God.
They're sitting right beside you. We got children. We got a generation in the church. They don't know that we got to train. This is the next nation we got to pour into. And if we don't train them how to be seers and be discerners, we're going to allow them to fall in the hands of the false prophets to prostitute them out of the miracles and the blessings and cause them to abhor what God got inside them for their next nation.
My God,
my God.
That is powerful. Oh, my God, my God. Woo, he is speaking today. Oh, Lord, have mercy. It's so powerful what you're saying, because when I look at how prophets operated before and I look at how prophets operate now, I'm asking two-word question. What happened? What happened? Because in the Old Testament, you don't see them come to a village and say, if y'all give three sheep, God is saying you're going to get six. Come on here now.
No.
What scripture have you ever read where prophets and God is saying, if you give six goats right now, you're going to get 12 goats in 2 weeks? You never read a scripture like that. But the prophets would come and say, if y'all don't get right, God is getting ready to rain down fire up in it.
That's it.
He's going to kill y'all if y'all don't get right. So I'm trying to understand what happened. How did we go from prophets being able to speak a word that wasn't going to make them popular? Come on, Prophetess Morris.
That's
right. Wasn't going to make you a superstar. Offering not going to be good now. Huh? But that they would come give a real word. And now so much of prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how they sit right near the offering time, right? But so much of the prophecy is I hear God saying that everybody in here in 7 weeks is going to get 700. And I'm trying to figure out how could everybody get the same thing? Some people in adultery, some people fornicated, some people won't come under subjection. Come on. Mm-hmm. Some people operating in witchcraft. But everybody gets the same thing if they give the same amount. Something not right. So I just don't understand what happened between the prophets of the Bible and the prophets now who seem to have a corporate word for everybody that everybody will get the same thing if you give the same amount of money. It don't matter if you're in sin. It don't matter if there's blood on your very hands. But if you come up to this place and give $100, expect $1,000. So how do prophecy turn into the lottery? I'm just somebody needs to help me. How did prophecy turn into the lottery? How did it turn into everybody get the same thing? Just bring $50. I'm just confused about that. Something happened. I don't know what it is, but something happened.
I know what it is. It's a broken relationship.
Come on.
Keep it imitating.
The broken relationship, because broken relationship between man and God will cause flesh to speak. God will not speak to me. So what flesh desires, he called for.
Right. And people
that's
walking
right
after
broken relationship.
Yes. Broken relationship. Amen. Someone else is speaking?
Overseer Wilson. Not only that, we have moved from imitating what God, imitating God and hearing what God is ever saying, and we are imitating people. We see and we saw people, like she was saying, where people are walking
so true.
In the flesh. Pastors and preachers, mm-hmm. we have to be very careful about that.
Yes.
They see it, that it's working or it worked for someone else, and they say, hold up. And that's what's going on. People seeing it, that it's working, and it's really not working. It's contaminating the body of Christ. It's causing people not to know who God is. And now God has to be reintroduced because we the people are just that because of the way the church is operating, they are operating in the flesh. And the Lord tells us we should walk after the Spirit of God. We should walk in the Spirit of God and not after the flesh. And that's what's really happening, because when she starts talking about the flesh, I'm like, yes, that's it. We're walking out the flesh, and we're seeing that it's doing something well for our flesh, but it's not doing anything for our spirit. And so
that's
people
it.
Want to see manifestations so quick. They're so hungry about seeing these manifestations. Okay, and they're believing it's becoming a lottery because people are not walking in the Spirit of God, and they want something so fast. Prophecy, you have to realize when you receive the Word of God, there is a process. Process that comes after prophecy. Because sometimes God will prophesy that you may become a millionaire, but guess what? The next day you may lose your job. My God.
Come on.
Because of the way of the word, he causes us to believe and trust in his word. And that's what's going on to people. People are not holding fast to the word of God during their prophecy. And it's causing them,
to be misguided.
It's causing them to reach out to things. Mm-hmm. Okay, I want this fast. But, baby, let me tell you something. You have to go through the process to receive the promises
of God.
Hallelujah. And that's what it is. People don't want to wait anymore. Isaiah told us, he said, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall not
renew
their eagles. And a lot of things, I want to talk about this too. When the prophet or people, because she's one of the women of God, said something about make sure that we're submitting to a leader. We got to be careful because there are bald-headed eagles walking around here. And glory to God.
Yes, sir.
Submitted to any ministry, but yet want to run their ministry, which is this renegade spirit that's gone on these parking lot prophets that have not been authorized by God.
Mm-hmm.
And you can tell because those that are walking in it, they have fruit. You see the labor, glory to God, hallelujah. So this is what's going on. We're walking out of the flesh and not out of the Spirit of God, and it is contaminated the body. And then now, glory to God, we don't know who's true and we don't know who's not.
That's it.
Wow.
My God.
Then this is why we call the show prophetic fire.
Yes, Lord.
And it's strange fire too.
Prophetic fire versus strange fire. My God. I had another question to pose, but Overseer Moore, were you saying something?
Yes, I was just wanting to piggyback off of Overseer Wilson, where he talked about that a renegade prophet not having the covering, not having that consistent leadership. And not only that, but they don't have no fruit in their lives to substantiate the anointing on their life. You know, there's no maturity, and they mantle themselves with a title and begin prophesying to others, even though they're clearly on the Father's wheel. And for me, I call it loose prophetic culture. We see problems coming from extremely loose prophetic culture. You know, erroneous and dangerous words are being released with no accountability. Teaching and doctrine is incorrect and is established without challenge, and dangerous and even demonic spiritual encounters that are related to, those experiences, and they're completely unscriptural. And we have to be mindful, that when we're in this particular place, that the new church, the New Testament church government with the office of apostle first in time, there was an apostolic grace to develop. And we don't want to be developed anymore. We don't want to be trained. and got it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we have all of these illegal prophets, you know, in the earth realm now.
My God. Amen. Well, that is segueing us right to this next question. And this is an issue really of, as you all just said, you said all the words, maturity, being under leadership. This is where we're going. And this is also about protocol. There are some prophets out there, some young prophets that are coming up. They need to hear the answer to this question. So what happens sometimes is that a prophet will go to a church and the spirit is high, you know, and perhaps they're called on to give greetings or something like, and they'll just start prophesying. So this is a two-part question. We want to talk about the renegades, but we also want to talk about the protocol of the prophet. So if you, and people really need this, if you are a prophet and you go to a church you're not affiliated with, is it protocol? Is it in order to start prophesying if the angel of that house has not asked you to or given you license? So we need to answer that question, and then we're going to go to renegade. So let's just answer the protocol question. Is that in order? And I'm coming to Prophetess Lisa Morris. Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody was speaking?
Go ahead.
Prophetess Lisa, and then we'll come back.
You coming to me?
Can you ask that? Yes.
That's for Prophetess Morris?
It is.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. I see, truthfully, that if you were not called to be the speaker, if that prophet is not the speaker of the house, is that what you're referring to? That just visited the church and indicate that God has given him or her a word. I think that if he's the speaker, that means that he have all liberty to speak as the Lord give him utterance. However, if he's just visiting the church and there's a pastor there and he's not the main speaker, I think a prophet should not just go well-trained prophet should not just go forth and just give a word. I think that should be the approval of the pastor.
Absolutely.
In all
honesty.
You
said something interesting.
Now,
you said well-trained. You said a well-trained prophet. That's a well-trained prophet.
Yes. A well-trained prophet who is in order, as we would have mentioned earlier, under leadership and has been proven to be able, would not just get a speaker. That's however, you should get the approval if you're not the speaker and the pastor didn't call you to say, okay, you're up there as the speaker. You should get that approval from the pastor. And once you get the release, then you can go forth and declare what the Lord has given you.
Amen. Amen. Prophetess Morris, that's so good. I keep hearing the words ringing in my head. Well trained. Overseer Wilson, I'm coming to you because I can hear the, you know, I'm coming to you with these. I can hear the prophet saying, but see, my authority is God. My authority is God.
Can I interject there a second, Overseer?
Certainly.
I also want to add to that, right? That a prophet you don't just come up and be a prophet. When we talk about a trained prophet, is one that has been through the process. Jesus made a statement and he said, tarry in Jerusalem until you be endowed with power from on high. And I think that's the step a lot of prophets missed, that there's a process. And so, yes, sometimes you may start off with dreams and all of that, and then you see your dreams come to pass. No, sit still. It's not your time yet. And grow in the house of the Lord and grow in the things of God and the prophetic. Any prophet on this panel or who stands to tell you, process is not easy. It is a lonely road.
Absolutely.
You get up at midnight, but you have your secular job to go on, but the Lord is speaking. And so when you're well-trained, you come up and then operate that way. That's why leadership for a prophet is vitally important. I just have to add that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. And when you talked about it being a lonely road, my God, a lonely road. Overseer Wilson, I'm coming to you just because I can hear a prophet saying, but God is my ultimate authority. So if I go into a church and I hear God talking and I hear God saying something to me, And he's moving all in me now. Why do I have to get the permission of the set angel of the house? So, Overseer Wilson, just talk to us a little bit.
Well, what we have to realize is, first of all, God is a God of order first. And anything that God does not cause confusion to the fact that it confused the body of Christ. It confused the people of God. He is a God of order. And the way God works, when you know him and he knows you, you understand that you wouldn't be so hasty all the time to prophesy. Many people that are so hasty to prophesy is because they're really just trying to get networked and trying to get people to know who they really are. But let me tell you how God is so awesome and he's so intelligent. There were times in my own personal life where the Lord would wake me up and tell me to go to this particular ministry and that there will be a word, that you will have to give them a word, and I was not on program. And I told God, I said, God, I know you are a God of order, and because you are sending me, I know you've already spoken to the leader of the house. Hallelujah. And there has never been a time in my personal life, I can't speak for nobody else, there have never been a time when God sent me and he charged me to go to a ministry. I would sit in the back. I would even go to the pastor. And I said, God, if you have sent me to this house, you touch the pastor of this house and you tell him that there is a word of the Lord, or you tell him that I want him to say something, that I want him to say something. And then I will know as your man of God that you have sent me to that house. And every time that I have, that God has sent me, I mean every time, when he has sent me and without even a warning to the pastor, I would sit in the house, enjoy the worship. There's not a time. And the man of God said, you have a word for this house. So because God is a God of order, that's how he works. I'm talking about my life now. That's how he works. And if there is a word for their house, God has a way for you can do it that it will be in order. It will not destroy the house of God. And because God is a God of peace. Hallelujah. He's a God of peace.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
But there is the timing.
Hallelujah.
The timing. And so we have to be very careful about trying to, just because God gave us a word, that doesn't mean it's that time to give it right then. Come here. We have to be careful because come here, Joseph. Hallelujah. God told him that he was going to do this, but he told the wrong people.
Come on.
You
can
have
the Bible,
God.
But if you're not telling the right people, just because God told you to tell it, or God showed you, but you can tell it to the wrong people, and it won't manifest as it should manifest, and you wouldn't have to go through as much as that you're going through, be telling the wrong people at the wrong time. Sometimes you got to hush, and you got to be, like she was saying, discernment, and knowing the timing of God, because just because it's your time doesn't mean it's your turn.
Come on. Oh my God. that was so good. Thank you for that instruction, because that was some instruction. Amen. Because I love how you said that you will pray, and this has been brought out, I believe, by all the guests. Prophetess Morris has said this. Overseer Moore has said this, that if you are a prophet, then you are an intercessor. But every intercessor is not a prophet. So I love how how you said, Overseer Wilson, that you pray before you go to a ministry. And I love how you said you go to enjoy the worship. I hope our listeners are hearing that. I think that's so important, whether you be a prophet, an apostle, a pastor, evangelist. We're just talking to all leaders now. I think sometimes we don't know how to go and just sit down.
Yeah.
I think Prophet Moore said sit down. Right. We don't know how to go just somewhere and sit down and just enjoy the worship, enjoy the word. Sometimes we need to be filled up when we're looking to give out to others. So I think that was a great instruction that if you're going to a ministry and you're a prophet, pray that the man or woman of God will hear from God and they'll call on you. I think that that's so good. We're talking about renegades because there are prophets that will go, you all know this, they'll go to a house and maybe they just get called on for greetings. Sometimes they're not even called on for greetings. They just pop up. And you know, maybe people are thinking there's a lull. Maybe it gets quiet for a while. Next thing you know, somebody's prophesying. And so it's out of order. It's out of order. And we have to make sure. And sometimes they're not trained. It goes back to what you said, Prophetess Morris. You said well-trained. And that just kept ringing in my ear because we're not all well-trained. And so that's a good instruction. Before we go into the next portion, because I really believe that with these prophets who are on the line, that the Lord has brought you to give a word. And I just want you to start hearing. I want to, before I call on Overseer Moore to answer this question about protocol, I want you all just to start hearing from the Lord. What is God saying about sickness to the body of Christ? What is God saying about our finances? What is God saying about obedience? And so we're just going to release you in a moment for whatever God has on your heart. So just start preparing to just minister to the body of Christ. But Overseer Moore, before we get to that portion, I'm so excited about that. Overseer Moore, we do want to come to you. We have an issue, which is renegades. People, prophets who do not want to submit to pastors, to leaders, and they're just journeying all around, popping into this ministry, prophesying, popping into that ministry and prophesying. And sometimes they're not even called on to do that. So can you talk a little bit about the protocol of a prophet? Overseer Moore?
Yes, I'm sorry. I was
all right. Oh, no. There you are. All right.
You will always operate as a renegade prophet if you are always walking around here and never have a covering. And see, people without a covering, they go from church to church. They church hop, looking for, for people to come behind them. They church hop, looking for someone that will feed into the foolishness that they have mustered up. To go into a church, and it's a dangerous game to be a self-proclaimed prophet going into someone else's church saying that you are a prophet fit by God. It's a dangerous game. And what we have not seen is that that God will sit us down, because we have to get to a place where as a called prophet that we do what God has commissioned us to do. But someone that says that they are walking in the office of a prophet, it's a grave and heavy one. And not only that, but you must be ready and able to carry the weight and the responsibility of a prophet. But what's going to happen is that the Lord is going to sit them down. And it's not going to be easy. It's because we're now in a season where God is exposing the immature prophets, where God is exposing those illegal prophets that are out here doing what they want to do, putting their PayPal links on their biography or the bio because they want to feed in or to buy into what they're saying. But we have to be careful of everything that we receive from those that say they are a prophet. I remember when I was first affirmed as a prophet back in 2019, and in my church, there was a prophetess called the superintendent prophetess. As a prophet of the house, and if I had a word for my church, it was my job to go to the superintendent prophetess and say, hey, I have a word from the church. If the superintendent prophetess did not release me to give that word, I couldn't do so. And so we must be mindful of how we operate in the body of Christ. And I think someone said it earlier, that if you are a self-proclaimed prophet, you will be causing people to have miscarriages in the spirit. As a self-proclaimed, as a self-proclaimed prophet, I am causing myself to act prematurely, and that will now override what God has called me to do.
Yeah. That's right.
So now, there has been, watch this here, there has been a breach in ministry. Anytime there is a breach in something, that means that something has been interrupted spiritually in the atmosphere. And so now God has to come down and clean all of the foolishness up that we have called inside of the ministry and now do everything over again with the person that has the authenticity of the anointing in the house.
Thank God.
My God. My God, my God, my God.
And that's the problem in the body of Christ now. It's too much breaching going on. My soul. It's
too
much
breaching. My God, my God.
It's too many people that are walking in these churches that are now calling themselves a prophet of God. And watch this here. It's going to come back on the leader because the leader is allowing it.
Wow.
And God is going to my expose God. Those. He's going to expose those that will come and walk into a church and allow the foolishness to go on. Because what's going to start happening is that people are going to start leaving ministry. Matter of fact, it's happening now. And we're wondering what's going on. No, you know what's going on. Because you allowed the spirit of witchcraft to walk into your house and to control your house.
My God, my God, my God.
And that's
my
why
God.
I, that's why I said in the first place that without a prophet, the house is blind.
There
has to be a gatekeeper. There has to be a watchman in the house.
Amen. Amen. That's so good. That's so good. That's so good, Overseer Moore. And I love how you give us insight into your training, that there was a set prophet, and so that if you did not get that release, you couldn't just be a renegade and prophesy anytime you wanted to. And that is so, so important. I don't know if any of you all saw this. This hurt my heart. So bad. This is years ago. I was watching one of the religious shows, and they had a panel of prophets. And I don't know if it was a dollar, $5, whatever it is, you could call and pay for a prophecy. I don't know if you all saw this. And it didn't last long, but it was a panel of prophets, and you could call in, and for whatever amount they were asking, you could pay for a prophecy.
Oh, my God.
And you remember that. You remember that, Overseer Wilson. And it was a scandal, and it came, you know, it came off of TV. but it was up there, and it was such a shock to me to see a panel, wasn't just one person up there, a panel of so-called prophets who would give you a prophecy if you would pay them. And it just seemed like it was a prescription for the problem.
My God.
Of church.
Mm-hmm.
If you pay, then we will give you, tell you what you want to hear. And so I'm so grateful today that you came on to give us some instruction. We need more. There got to be a part two. We need more. But to give us some instruction of the role of the prophet, of the danger of false prophecy, of telling people you've got to be in order. And we want to shift. Amen. We want to shift. Hallelujah. And Overseer Wilson, you know if the Lord moves you to sing, to do whatever the Lord is moving you to do, we want you to do that. But we want to allow you all to operate in your gifts. I know if God isn't saying it, you all aren't going to say it. I trust the God in all of you, and that's why you're on radio on today. But we just want you to operate in your gifts because there are people who are hurting. There are people who are lost. There are people who are looking for God to say something. And we have some prophets on the line. We thank God for Prophet Tamara Darden. She had to go, but we thank God for that mighty woman of God that talked to us about watch out for miscarriages. And so we're just going to begin to allow you to release you to operate in your gift in whatever God has for you. And we're going to begin with Prophetess Lisa Morris. Just come on, woman of God, and whatever God is saying, give it to the people.
Mm-hmm. Amen, amen. Thank you again, Overseer.
Thank you.
I would just like to say that from the beginning of the year, the Lord was speaking concerning his people. And I know that even with the pandemic, COVID-19 has been rough for a lot of churches, for a lot of ministries. I don't want to go too deep into that part of it, but I would say this, that I know that we are in, it doesn't matter how it looks, we are in our season of change. We are in our season of change in the midst of turmoil. And I would like to say this before I say what I feel that the Lord is leading me to say. Even though in the midst that it is sunny, Elijah saw rain. Hallelujah. Even in the midst of what our eyes may see in our natural eyes, as prophets we know what the Lord is saying, even though it looked like it's not going to rain. I'm here to say to you that it's about to rain. I see restoration coming to the body of Christ. And when I say the body of Christ, there's a group of people, you know, the term remnant, yeah, it sounds good, but it's so like kind of outdated, I would say, or used so much, but God is saying that it's your restoration time. I am restoring back to the body of Christ what they have lost. I am restoring,
thank you,
God.
And
God wants to be still and know that he is God. Yes, the pandemic came and some things, you may have some members who left the church. The finances was not in order, but that was your testing time to see if you would stand in the midst of the fire. And I am here to declare to you that you're in your restoration season. God is restoring back to the church.
Yeah.
And as he is restoring back to the church, I would hasten to say that there is judgment upon some churches. And I'm sorry, I have to declare this. However, we serve a loving God, and I would say that if we repent and if we see the life of David, he lived a repentive life. Reasons being is because you repent and say, I humble before God. I am not haughty. And so I would say if we repent, like the word of God, challenge us. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray. And turn from their wicked ways. He said, I will hear from heaven. Hallelujah. I will hear from heaven. I will not just heal your situation, but I'll heal your land and all. Your land. Okay? So I'm saying, but I want to speak more on the restoration part of it, because God has been speaking to me expressively even more regarding restoration. And God said, I am restoring the church. I am restoring to my church. Those doors that have been open, God say, I'm going to, those doors that have been closed in your face, God say, I am now opening it. We are going to experience the favor of God like never before. And I dare anyone to check me on this. And never before, you may have experienced a drizzle. You may have experienced your church being restored to 50 people, but I am telling you, God is involved. I've never seen it open. The pandemic came, but the pandemic came not, you know, we look at it in a negative light, and yes, we've lost some people along the way, but God is saying, I am strengthening what remains. Hallelujah. God is saying, I am restraining what remains. Hallelujah. And God is saying, I am restoring back to you the years, the things you have lost. God,
hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Amen. Restoration. Amen. We heard that word, Prophetess Morris. We might have lost you because of a bad connection at the end,
hallelujah,
but we received that word. I receive it. Hallelujah. Sorry,
and that's what I keep hearing. Can you hear me?
Oh, no, we can hear. Yes.
Tonight, the
we can hear.
Hallelujah.
You.
Can you still hear me? Okay. The Lord.
Yes, we can. Amen. Hallelujah.
I keep seeing the corn. I said, Prophet Knowles, I see. Lifting up, strengthening his people. They will be able to do the work of God. And I, this is what I see God doing. This is what I see God doing. And I just had that discussion. But I can say to the body of Christ, the rain is coming. It's about to rain. Don't look at the sun like what was really happening, even though it was sun.
Amen. Thank you, Prophetess Morris. Amen for that. Hallelujah. We thank God for you. Amen. And even though we were having a little bit of a connection problem, we heard the word of God. Amen. Restoration for the body of Christ. Overseer Wilson.
Bless you. Can y'all hear me? Praise the Lord.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Amen.
I agree. You know, with the when restoration, when she was talking about restoration, how we're, the body of Christ is going to be restored. But today, my job, and glory to God, is to speak to the leaders today. And what God is sharing with me even earlier today, as I was about to say, Lord, what is it that you want me to share? Because I really didn't know how this was going to be. But when you say, okay, God, I thank you for what you told me to share. I want to share this because, well, this is what I was seeing. I saw this in a vision this morning. There's definite restoration, and there's a shift that is taking place in the body of Christ. But to our leaders, I want us to be very careful, and I want them to be very strategic and intentional in this season of our lives, because I'm seeing people. This is what I saw in the vision. I'm seeing leaders going up and elevating themselves. But as they were going up, I seen them coming down. And God began to be dealing with me. He said, there are people who are being elevated, but they're not being rooted in dedication and devotion to me. They're being elevated by men, and they'll be elevated by this because this is something that they desire to have. But we have to be very careful about being lifted. Hallelujah. Without a root
in devotion to God and dedication to God, because you can be elevated so quickly. And if you don't have that root, can you hear me? You don't have that root in God, hallelujah, all the grace for where you are being lifted to, you won't be able to last. And so God is saying, I need my leaders to get back rooted in devotion to me. I need my leaders to get back rooted in dedicating their lives to me. And the body of Christ will receive, hallelujah, more of the restoration. They will understand the times that we are actually living in. They will know what time we're living in. And so leaders, it behooves all of us, amen, to make sure that we are in line with God, because it is not just us. We are carriers of God's word, hallelujah, and everything that we speak, everything that comes out of us, we give the people the direction to go, hallelujah. So I want us to be very careful about being excited, hallelujah. Don't get it wrong. People are being elevated, but we have to be very careful that we are rooted in God, hallelujah. We are rooted in the plans and the timings of God, and not being so hasty, hallelujah, to be elevated by man. The Bible said, If I be lifted up, I'll draw all men unto me. We are lifting up the wrong people. God said, if you lift me up, I'll draw men unto him. That's why a lot of you don't see a lot of people so excited about going to church anymore or things like that. We're probably moving out of that area because of what has happened. But God allowed this shift. God allowed, glory to God, hallelujah, even the COVID situation to come to show us, hallelujah, so we can see certain things at a different perspective to see how God sees it. Watch this. I believe in Psalms 127, it said, and now God's doing it again, bring rain. And she was talking about the rain. I was like, here it is. It's coming. Bring rain to our drought-stricken lives. So those who plant their will shall rest at the harvest. So those who will come home laughing, watch this, with armloads of blessings. That's Psalms 127. One of the most difficult places to live is between what God has done in the past and what you're hoping God will do in the future. Ooh, give me the day. It's the place as a desert, the place of dry spells and drought. Maybe you're there now. I don't know who I'm talking to, but let me tell you this. When we find ourselves in this place, our eyes instinctively goes to what we don't have and what seems to be missing. But watch this. Our focus goes to our frustration instead of his faithfulness. And so what we have to do, we got to not allow our focus to be frustrated. We have to be reminded of God's faithfulness. It doesn't have to be this way. You have a choice in every season. You have a choice in every season of drought. Even the season of drought, you get to choose your perspective. You get to decide if you will complain about what's missing or thank God for what's available. You can decide to turn the dry ground into a training ground. Come on, leaders. A place where you can learn and rely on God more than ever before. Mm. You get to decide if you will stare at the dry ground, or you're going to fix your eyes towards the sky, heaven with blessings. Yes, although you don't see the sun, glory to God, you don't always have to see the sun. And that's because you ain't seeing the sun and you see rain. To grow. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There shall be supply. Jesus. There's a shifting in our supply. Things are beginning to be taken care of. And we just got to train our spirits to recognize it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. It's a choice. And lean on to God. Hallelujah. Don't be so quick and try to be elevated. Hallelujah. In titles and elevated and all these other stuff. And you're not rooted in God. We need to be rooted in God. We're planting our feet on the word of God in this season like never before. Seek him like never before. Take it to a whole nother level. Take your prayer life to a whole nother level. Take your studying to a whole nother level. And watch what I tell you. Your whole ministry, your whole life will turn around. It is so. And it shall be your life to see the word of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, God. So, hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah, I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. Hey, rain is coming to your dry place. Hey, oh God, I'm getting ready to preach that. Hey, I'm getting to preach that thing. Rain is coming to your dry place. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
We, hey, thank you, God. Oh, God.
He's been faithful. Hallelujah. He's been faithful.
Thank you, God.
Thank
you, God. Amen. Thank you so much. I love the continuity of what God is saying from what Prophetess Lisa Morris was saying. Hallelujah. She was talking about the rain. She was talking about the corn. She was talking about the restoration. Overseer Wilson blessed us, talking about you may be in those dry seasons, those dry spaces between what God did and what you're expecting him to do. Oh, God, but we can expect the rain. Amen. Hallelujah. We thank God
Hallelujah.
For the true prophets of God. Amen. Who have a word for the body of Christ, and we want to give, before we go out of here, we want to hear from Overseer Rakes Moore. Overseer Moore?
Amen. Blessings, Dr. Hubbard.
Overseer
Wilson, I received that word for myself as a leader, so thank you so much for your obedience.
Yes.
I want to give a prophetic word for healing in this season. God is releasing the answerable prayer of David for people who have a debilitating or life-threatening sickness or an issue that can take you out even just for a season. And if you're facing surgery or recovery, this is also for you, that God wants you to be healthy so that you can thrive in being you. There has been an
attack
on your body to distract you from the will of God, and to distract you and to destroy you from God's purpose. Even some of you have been under attack for so long that you need to renew your yes in your heart to receive the fullness of healing. And so I call you back to that place to say yes to God. I call you back to that place for where your faith was on trial. I want you to be present with the fact that the issues in your body that you're facing are not your spiritual truth. I want you to understand God has intended for you. This is not how he has intended for you to live. For he wants you to bring miracles. He wants you to bring restoration. And even for those that are dealing with sickness now, you're dealing with financial issues, God is accelerating your recovery. Hallelujah. He's accelerating
you
to the process where you need to be recovered with the quickness. And even in the midst of your suffering, it is hard to pray with full faith. But I pray now, I give a prophetic prayer over your life of David from Psalms for you. For Psalms chapter 30, verses 2 through 3 says, "O Lord, my healing God, I cried out for a miracle and you healed me. You brought me back from the brink of death, from the depths below. Now here I am alive and well, fully restored." That's about to be your testimony today, that you are fully alive and fully restored. I'm crying out for you today, for I am aligning my faith. Prophet of God, I'm aligning my faith with your faith because I know that
God
is about to do it. That God is about to bring you back from the brink of death. That God is about to give you life. He's about to give you wellness. He's about to give you restoration. Your breakthrough, man and woman of God, your breakthrough is coming. And I'm so sorry that you are facing what you're facing, but I want you to understand is that right now your faith is being tested, and God is bringing you back to that place of full restoration. Now, I want to suggest to you that while God is bringing you back through this full star, this full process of restoration, that he is now testing the yes that you gave him from the beginning. And your this time will be intensified. Your yes this time will be intensified. Why? Because God is testing your yes in the process of your healing. I want to let you all know today that he's going to do what he promised you that he would do. And right now we're putting his reputation on the line for him to be the God that he said that he would be concerning your life, concerning your health, concerning your finances, concerning your obedience to him. God is saying, I'm going to heal you, but I just have to intensify your yes.
Woo! My God.
Your yes. And so I want you to understand that while God
Thank
is taking you,
you
through the healing process, that there is an intensification that has to take place in your process to accelerated recovery. I'm praying for you.
Hallelujah.
And know that you're still on the mind of God while he's taking
you God.
Through the process of a yes. God bless each of you. May heaven smile upon you.
Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. I know that those who are listening, just lift up a praise. Come on and give God some praise. He is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. We want to lift up our voices and just thank God. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. I know, hey, God, that there are those listening sick in their body that just received that word.
My
accelerated
God.
Healing. Accelerated healing.
Jesus, hallelujah.
I receive accelerated
Jesus.
Healing. Oh, we thank God for the man of God, Overseer Moore. Thank God for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Prophetess Lisa Morris. Hallelujah. Representing the Bahamas. On today, thank God for you, woman of God. Hallelujah. Overseer Gilbert Wilson.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Thank God for you, man of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Prophetess Tamara Jordan, we thank God. Amen. For what you shared with us on today. And I thank God that we have been able to hear what it's like to hear the true prophet. Bring a word, amen. I receive every single one of them. I pray that you have received it. Remember, you are listening to KDFI Radio, Kingdom Radio for Kingdom people. And I'm telling you something. I have a feeling things are getting ready to get better. God bless you.
Come on, everybody, put your hands together. It's got to get better. All over the world, listen to these words. People come.
People come.
People go.
People go.
Your life has been.
Your life has been.
Out of control.
Out of control.
You're confused.
You're confused.
But don't worry.
Don't worry. Your soul, it will get better.
It's got to get
better.
Presiding Prelate Bishop Derek Robinson. You're listening to KDFI Radio.